everybody. Welcome to another Art House Rewind. I'm Matt.
I'm Brian.
And we are here today to talk about all things film, art, and culture as it pertains particularly to the Babcock Theater and Art House Cinema and Pub. Brian, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. It's been a busy few days. We had the Oscar party last night,
yep.
So we're going to debrief all of our Oscar thoughts. We're going to try to keep it as succinct as possible, because as much as you love the Oscars, Brian, we could talk for hours and hours.
Don't get me started.
Well, I'm going to get you started. Okay. I'm just going to reel you in. Anyways, so we're going to talk that. We're going to talk about a couple films we have here at Art House we don't want people to miss. But before we do any of that, because I seem to forget sometimes, Brian, what are three things that are coming that people just need to know about?
Oh, some of the biggest things we got this weekend, we will have a couple films coming to Art House, some newer films. One of them is Love Lies Bleeding. You've probably seen the trailer for that with Kristen Stewart in it. It looks like a interesting road movie sort of thing with bodybuilding and criminals and all this stuff. It should be a good time, so I'm excited for that one.
Bodybuilding and criminals. It's everything. What more could you want exactly. from a movie? I love it. Okay.
And then I've also got another one, One Life with Anthony Hopkins, about based on a true story of a man from World War II that helped get some children out of the concentration camps. So powerful sort of historic drama that I think everyone will love. So
yeah, it seems like Anthony Hopkins doing what he's good at.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I'm excited to check it out.
Yep. And then lastly, I also will have at Babcock, I will have a movie buffs of Wolfwalkers, which Woo! We had at Art House back in 2020 when it was released, but that was 2020. So didn't quite get the audience we probably could have in other years. So I thought it's a good movie buffs one to revisit, especially with St. Patrick's Day weekend. It is from Cartoon Saloon, who is based in Ireland and has done some great films over the years. So it's a good time to highlight Wolfwalkers.
And really, really great film. I mean,
yeah.
So just so everybody knows, my kids love this film. It's one of my son's favorites. Like, he's so excited about it. So really beautifully done, like the animation style. It's, even if you're not getting into the story, just seeing what's on the screen, it's a work of art on so many levels. So make sure to come check that out. And it's free.
And it's free.
It's Movie Buffs. So don't miss out on that. So, Brian, before we jump into the Oscars, I got to quickly say thank you, because last week we talked about this film called Hundreds of Beavers.
Yeah.
We had a little conversation on the podcast about it. I was like, what is this film that Brian's talking about? We talked more about it. I checked it out. Man, it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Like, not just of the year, of a long time. It's just, it's so good, so refreshing, so fun, so weird and quirky. And, it's
absolutely. It's a ton of fun, but it's also like that, I feel like it's that scrappy independent filmmaking of like, hey, we have this kind of out there story we want to do, and we don't have a budget, and we're just going to make it work. Like, you know, obviously it's very green screen heavy.
Yep.
Obviously there's, you know, even though it's called Hundreds of Beavers, there's probably two at most costumes that they actually have for that. Like, they just kind of cobble it together in this weird way that becomes part of its style, but it also is how it stays such low budget, is just by ingenuity of like, we're gonna make it work by any means necessary.
It's a huge part of the charm and the personality of it, and I'm so grateful that you brought it. Like, this was one of the moments, and I know I've said this, but one of the moments for me of like, this is why Art House exists.
Yeah.
And to speak honestly on this podcast right now, it's not playing super well.
Nope.
We're not selling out screenings.
Nope.
But
we're probably getting
to
about five people a screening right now.
and we need more. And so if you're listening to this in this calendar week, do yourself a favor. Come check it out.
Yeah.
Just come experience it. If you got kids, I think it's a great, fun kids film. I know, you know, Brian wants to be careful because it's not technically a kids film.
Yeah.
But I think as a dad, it comes as Matt Dad approved, if that's even a thing.
Yeah.
I
and,
put my stamp on it.
Other people have brought kids and said that, oh, yeah, my kid loved it. Yeah.
So, anyways, do your best to see that. The other film that we have happening right now is Perfect Days.
Yep.
Which we won't go into full spoiler territory review because we got to talk about the Oscars.
Yep.
But ultimately, you and I checked it out. Just a lovely film, a Japanese film that I felt like I was interacting with not only a story of somebody, but a culture of Japan.
Absolutely.
And enjoyed my time there, as how I would put that.
It's one of those films I was feeling like, you know, I've seen Japanese films, I've seen films set in Tokyo, and this felt like a very different Tokyo than I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
Much like, you know, some people would say like, oh, I've seen some films set in New York that, you know, feel like this is the unseen New York. This felt like a little bit of the unseen Tokyo and really made me kind of want to visit there, which is weird because most of it is visiting public restrooms in which each one is so unique too.
And,
I really loved the each restroom that he's cleaning has its own unique style, its own unique personality almost that I...
And for me, I'll just say this as a quick review. Like for me, the last scene is really what made the movie for me. Like I watched the whole movie and you're in it and you're kind of...
Yeah.
You're not necessarily waiting for something to happen, but you're curious what is going to happen. And then by that end scene, when you realize the story that maybe you wanted to be told or you were looking to be told and you're realizing what the story actually is in that last scene, the way he carries that scene, the way they shoot the scene, I was kind of like, okay, yep, I'm in. I really, really enjoy this film and I'm glad that we have it. So come check that one out.
Yeah.
Makes sense that it was nominated. So good on them. Speaking of nominations...
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Oscars. Brian, overall, let's talk about just the show itself. So we had the party at the Babcock, and it was a great time. Had lots of people come out, lots of great energy. Some people dressed up, which was really, really fun.
Yeah.
And just overall, a great night. And other than our party end of it at the Babcock, what did you think about the show itself?
You know, I like that they pushed it up an hour earlier for our sake, at least, that it's like, oh, I'm not here until 11 o'clock at night. I can.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel and I were chatting. I was like, let's just try to an hour earlier for our sake.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful he listened.
I think it's difficult in the sense of like, this wasn't probably the flashiest or the hottest contested Oscar race we've had in recent years that, you know, a lot of these films, I mean, I think most people knew Oppenheimer was winning this 4 months ago. So it wasn't the hottest contest. There was a couple races that were more heated, but the show itself, you know, I really was not a big fan of the whole, we're going to talk about each acting nominee for 5 minutes each of thing.
Yeah.
Like that kind of seemed to really, especially that very first, when they did Best Supporting Actress, they were already running behind. I was looking at the clock at 35 minutes into the show, we had only given out one award.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is a long night.
Here we go.
So.
Yeah. And I think, so you and I were watching that part backstage at the Babcock and I remember like we were talking about, this is how they're starting.
Yeah.
What are we in for? Like,
because,
and I'm with you from the standpoint of starting the show like that, because I think for me, I am definitely, as we all know, not a film expert. I haven't seen all the Oscars ever, but I've watched enough of them now after this job and doing this for a while that you learn to ask the question, what are we in for this year? How long are we going to go over? And why are the reasons that we're going to go over, I think is how I would put it. And so you and I are watching it, and it was just almost like this, and this is why this is going to be a long Oscars. Like, buckle up. This is 4 hours.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Even before that, Jimmy Kimmel's monologue was like 15 plus minutes. Yep. And I was like, ooh, this is a long, like, I expected, you know, obviously the MC is going to have a bit of an introduction, but it's like 5 minutes is enough to get the crowd amped up and let's go. And he went on so long.
And some jokes hit and some jokes didn't, which is fine.
Yeah.
But to that point about that feeling, I think by the end of it, I was kind of sold on the five presenters thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I'm sold on it is they limited it. And for me, this Oscars felt like they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it. They executed it well. It was zippy. They went through things. Like, Jimmy Kimmel didn't try a bunch of comedy bits and doing a lot of stuff. Like, there were funny moments that they tried things again. Some of it failed. Some of it worked well.
Yeah.
But it never felt like they were trying to reinvent the wheel. They understand what the Academy Awards, what the Oscars are, what the ceremony is. And they just leaned into its strengths and did that. And so for me, like that five presenter, it easily goes off the rails as far as like, seriously, we have to hear a monologue from everybody.
Yep.
But if that's what it was and you went into every year knowing that this is going to happen and it's really special that it's happening for the presenters and for the nominees, I think it's great.
Like,
let us know this is what it is and we can be on board. The problem is we have all these years where they've tried all these different things and we're like, just wrap this thing up, you guys, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So anyways, I think by the end of it, I was on board with it.
And I think
for the record,
that one was like really setting the tone, but they really did some of the other awards they were able to get through pretty quickly. I really liked how the animated feature in shorts and the documentary feature in shorts were just back to back like that. Because I feel like sometimes they kind of sprinkle those wherever, and the shorts in particular kind of feel like a whole block that everyone just tunes out of because it's like, oh, they're doing the shorts. I haven't seen these. Let's just ignore it. But by having it paired with their feature length counterparts, it seemed to, you know, keep you a little bit more engaged in that.
And just pairing all the awards together. I mean, most awards were given in a pair. And I think, I mean, it kept it zippy.
Yep.
It made it less about the presenters and more about the awards, which I thought was great. I thought all in all, from a ceremony standpoint, for me, really well done. And there's, I mean, there were low points where it's like, man, that didn't really work the way you were hoping.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I thought, for me, watching the Oscars, well done, everybody.
And I do think that, again, it wasn't the flashiest award show, which I think really came across when Ryan Gosling did the I'm Just Ken song. Like, that was easily everyone's highlight of the night because there wasn't a whole lot of flashiness otherwise.
Exactly. So that's the ceremony itself. When we think about the awards, and you already mentioned that we knew what some of these awards were going to be given 4 or 5, 6 months even ago. For you, what are some of the highlights for awards that you would point out and say, this is what I'm going to remember about these Academy Awards? And then I'm going to ask you about lowlights, things that you feel were robbed.
I think that some of the awards given that were more surprises, because again, a lot of these I think we were pretty well. Most of the acting ones, I know actress was one of the most contested ones. Mm-hmm. The rest of the acting ones, I think we were all pretty set on. But some of the more surprising ones of the night, I think, were Godzilla Minus One getting visual effects, which was a bit of a surprise that it's a lower budget film and it wasn't the creator was also not nominated for a lot of things, but you kind of figured that, well, because it's got sound and visual effects, it's probably going to win both of those. And then it didn't win any of those was a bit of a surprise. I was a little surprised that Poor Things took some of the production design and costuming and makeup were the three that I'm glad that it won those. I really enjoyed those elements of the film, but I really thought that those were going towards Barbie instead.
Yep.
And it's actually, Barbie did not win anything except for original song All Night, which I really thought that Barbie would have walked away with more. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised by it. I mean, again, we were watching backstage, and Poor Things had that run about halfway through the show where there was three awards in a row or something like that. It was just, like, it almost felt like, we haven't seen Oppenheimer win anything. We thought there was going to be this dominant force. And it ended up, being a dominant force. But in that moment, there was some momentum for Poor Things. Obviously, the Academy really connected with this film and the role and all that stuff. So things that you were disappointed or didn't go as you hoped?
Not too much, really. Okay. I wasn't anything that I was, like, really upset about. There was some that I was split on that I would have like to have maybe seen go the other way, but nothing that was like really disappointing for me, really. I know a lot of people in the room were really, really hopeful for Lily Gladstone to win that acting award. And personally, and I don't obviously speak for everyone, as much as I thought she did great, I still kind of preferred Emma Stone's performance, and so I was happy to see her win.
Heresy.
Even if it's
heresy,
it's not the Montana thing to do.
No, I'm with you. I think it was a tangible emotion in the room when Emma Stone was announced, because we've got a couple hundred people there at the Babcock, and there's so many of us, myself included,
and we even commented backstage of how it seemed like Emma Stone did not think she was winning either.
And so you feel that, and it's like you want to be excited for Emma, but at the same time, there's also, you know, the Lily factor. So I think for me, the thing about the Lily factor, and this isn't meaning to sound like I'm trying to limit her at all, but this just felt like the role. Like
it
if you're going to have a moment, this is the moment. So,
and I really hope that she continues to do more great films that get her more nominations going forward. Whereas Emma Stone has won before, she's been nominated before. Like it really in the moment, it did kind of feel like we're awarding someone that already has this. Yep. Where who knows? I mean, she's still a pretty fresh face for movies that maybe Lily Gladstone will have more opportunities. But this really felt like her moment to be like, I'm gonna plant my foot in here, and I'm gonna get that award that launches a career for the ages.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there are so many factors about this film. I mean, to the thought that Killers of the Flower Moon had 10 nominations, I think, and won zero.
Yeah,
and like, what kind of factors do you need to push you over the edge where you have a Martin Scorsese film, you're starring with Leo? Like, there's so many things happening that this is the moment, and she's so good in the film, like does such a great job. So I'm if anything, like I hope that we get to talk about her in a couple years of like, here she's back and let's root for her again and have that tangible joy. Cause if she would have won, like the joy in that room alone, she would have felt that I'm sure in LA. Cause it was huge for us. So, any other final thoughts that you have on the Oscars that you want to kind of point out that you are looking at and going, when I think about the Oscars in 2024, this is what I'm going to remember, other than Ken or John Cena, I guess.
Ken and John Cena, you know, I really think that I'd say one of the awards that really surprised me was of Zone of Interest getting sound, which I thought, you know, obviously sound is a very important part of that film, but I really thought that Oppenheimer was just going to sweep a lot of these technical awards, and for Zone of Interest to kind of take that from it, really, I was glad that the Academy was able to, you know, see that for what it was, as opposed to just kind of being like, you know, just go with the flow of, you know, this is a big movie about a bomb, I may as well just vote for it.
It's loud, so
The loudest movie wins sometimes on sound.
So I think for me, the thing I'm going to remember, Brian, is the fact that you picked Spider-Verse to win animated, and I picked Born the Heron, and I picked Better Than You.
Yeah, you did.
That's what I'm going to remember.
And you're right. You're right. So, I mean, again, I was split between the two. I am glad that Born the Heron won. I really thought that Hollywood. I really don't like this. Hot take.
What is this soapbox you're standing on all of a sudden, Brian?
I really don't like that Jimmy Kimmel, when it got to the animated thing, he like turned to the audience. He's like, "How many of you just let your kids fill out this section?" And it's like, it really annoys me that for decades, animation is considered kids' fare.
Yeah.
When it's like, no. Part of why these films are nominated is because they're pushing the format forward, that this isn't just for kids, and yet they still kind of treat it as, this isn't important cinema. This is the kid stuff. Yeah. So
no, I'm with you. And I think Born the Heron was a more mature
exactly. yeah.
film on many. It is not a kid's film. So yeah. Jimmy just showed his cards that he probably hasn't watched that yet, I guess.
I don't think he has, but.
And even a film like Spider-Verse that, yes, my kids love that film, both of them.
Yeah.
But it's so deep and oh, yeah. so good. And the character
in ways, it is deeper than other Marvel movies released this year.
Exactly. and there's so much. I've seen it probably 3 times now, yeah. just with my having it on with my kids. And there's so much I'm getting out of it. And yeah. the art, like, yeah, I'm with you fully. It's, I mean, it's a, there's so much to it. So,
yeah.
Excellent soapbox. You can now step down okay. from that, Brian.
Getting down. Clunk, clunk.
You did it. So, well, thank you, Brian, for running the show at the Babcock last night. No technical hiccups. We had other hiccups.
Well,
but we
there
had
was
no
the one time I didn't put your light on, and everyone's been telling me about hate mail all morning.
Calm down, Twitter. Okay, Brian forgot to cue my light one time, but it's fine. I yelled at him backstage properly. It was fine. So, anyways, it was a good show. It was a fun time with you, and obviously we got another one coming in a year. So. Yep. Get your rest, buddy, because yep. more is coming. So, and we've got great yep. films. Don't, please, everybody, please don't miss Hundreds of Beavers. Please don't miss Hundreds of yep. Beavers. It's so
we've only
great.
Got it through Thursday, so four fun. More days.
Okay. All right. Everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.